Blog Talk Radio. The recording has started.
Okay, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, David Murphy, with the National Black Unity News. I want to welcome everyone to our podcast. We air weekly on Mondays at 7:30, and this is what we say is it is a podcast. We pre-record it. It's live as well. We do Blog Talk Radio, Facebook Live, so we have a lot of simulcasts coming on at the same time. So we here, there, and everywhere. And as you know, as they say, we continue to grow and our outreach to reach the masses of people to spread good news. But on this podcast, we'd like to keep it real. There's some serious problems going on in this universe, some serious problems going on with this world. And right here in the United States, right here in our own backyards. I invited some guests to come on. They may venture in a little later on, some of our senior members. You know, even though I'm a senior myself, but these members I would speak about is older than I. And I wanted to get their take on current situations right now, because wisdom still has its place. Even in ancient Africa, they had the seers, the storytellers, who would sit around the village and explain their history to the young folks. And it's good, because you have to know where you've been to know where you're going. And sometimes when we're facing issues like we are today, then it's good to have people around who have experienced life, who can sometimes guide you through certain situations, who have lived through some things that can help us, you know, guide us through this current situation. And so even though, like I said, they're not on air right now, but we have Brother Satavi online, who's the co-host. He and I are about the same age. We're in the same year. We were born in 1951. You do the math. But we are considered elders. And we have some spring chickens on board, like the Fran Allens and the Wayne Randalls. And then we got teeny bobbers like Bernard Streeters on the call as well. I'm just kidding with them, but you know, but at the same time, you know, they here, they dedicated, and they still serving the community, you know, because their heart's in the right place. And that's one of the reasons why they're on air right now, because they have valuable information they'd like to share with our listening audience. And as always, and our other co-hosts, Mr. Hector, he will be on board for 3 minutes. He's just getting in. I just got a call from him, so he will be joining us in a few minutes. But as always, before we get started in our conversation, I'd like to bring on my brother Satavi Jahi, because he always brings a powerful reading and powerful information. So with that being said, brother Satavi, to you, sir.
Thank you, David. And I hope everybody out there within the reach of my listening voice is safe and doing what they need to do to be able to survive this coronavirus pandemic to the other side. Okay, May 11th, from Daily Motivations for African American Success by Mr. Dennis Kimbrough, who also is the author of Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. Great Expectations. Quote, we have the ability to shape, change, accept, or reject anything we want. Open our minds to positive thought and faith, and prosperity can become a reality for each of us. Johnny Coleman, pastor of Christ Universal Truth Center. Reading for the day. We impose meaning on day-to-day events, and what we say to ourselves about them leads us toward either success or failure. World-class tennis star Zena Garrison was the seventh-seeded player in the 1990 Virginia Slims tournament, but she was eliminated by an unseeded player in the first round. Why? She told a New York Times reporter, my mind wasn't there at all. I had no motivation, no pickup. And when you're not playing, and when you are playing so bad, you just don't know how to get out of it. Or if kin. What crushed her spirit? What made her think so negatively? A silly superstition, she went on to say. I'm superstitious, and it seems like I have one good and one bad year, and every even number of years is usually a bad one. Do you think a hand on high deliberately alternatives, Garrison, good and bad years? Of course not. Like many of us, she's a victim of her own self-defeating thinking. Superstitions are merely poor mental habits given an external cause. Anyone can fall prey to such misconceptions. Even professional athletes who receive careful coaching. Every situation is always fresh and new. Yesterday's failures mean nothing about today's possibilities unless you make up wild superstitions about it. You can make the most out of every opportunity. Create positive expectations and you'll have positive results. Today, it's better to expect too much of yourself than too little. And I can definitely relate to this reading for today, because some of you might know, I'm an avid tennis player. And 1970, when I graduated from Emerson High School, I was listed as one of the top 10 tennis players in Baltimore City. And so a lot of times when I would go into a tournament, if I was seeded, I already knew that I was going to win. There was no way that person was going to be able to beat me that day. And so that sort of gave me a positive mental attitude towards, that situation in life. And so that kept me going. And it's part of also where I get a lot of motivation from today because, you know, I'm an athlete and also a former military person. And, you know, you always have to have a positive mental attitude in order to get through life. You know, it's called PMA, positive mental attitude, versus NMA, negative mental attitude. And when those things like superstitions get in your way, it can crush your spirit. You know, and she had a superstition that her even years were her bad years. And so, you know, so mentally she was not prepared to go out there and do her best on that day. And all of us probably have certain superstitions that we hold on to that drive us to participate and do things in life that just doesn't have us unprepared to how we should be able to survive and move on. And so, you know, that's my take from that reading. As we get into the nice conversation, I know we got a lot of stuff that's on the table. There's a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, one of the other things that plagued me for a long time, and I'm really glad I got beyond it, was that because I was an activist in my early days, is that Martin Luther King was killed when he was 39. Malcolm X was killed when he was 39. So not comparing myself to them. But I had just went through this thing where, you know, all the stuff that I'm doing, that if I make it to 39, I'd be and did good. And I've made it to 39 and almost another 39 and plus another 30-some years. So, you know, it's good to be able to know how to let go of your superstitions and things that can plague your mental behavior, your mental thoughts. And making sure you always keep a positive mental attitude so that you do not become victim to your own internal negative thoughts. And so, you know, that's what I wanted to share, you know, in terms of the beginning of this call. And those out there that's under the sound of my listening voice, make sure that you're doing what you need to do. This is not a game. It's stuff going on out there besides coronavirus killing us. We got police killing us. We got vigilantes killing us. And, you know, so it's important that we make sure that we do whatever it is that we need to do to protect ourselves and our loved ones. I had a long talk with my grandson the other day. He's 20. You know, he's been going in and out. And, you know, I tried to explain to him, I said, you know, you got to be careful. I said, you know, you're out and about. I said, you could end up catching COVID-19, come back and give it to your mother who's in a wheelchair, whose immune system is not as strong as yours. You can be a carrier of the germ. And I said, you know, what happens if you carry the germ and you come and contaminate the house and causes her to get the bug? So how would you feel? He said, oh, called me pop out. He said, Babu, too good. I said, yeah, so you got to make sure that you're doing what you need to do. And, you know, it's not that essential that you be out and about going to visit your girlfriend and doing all of those kind of different things. And, you know, hey, we happy for you. You have a girlfriend, and that's good. You know, but he's young and in love, and so, you know, hey, he's careless and he's reckless. And told him, so you got to get rid of that careless and reckless behavior because you could cause other people to get hurt. So, you know, we all need to make sure that we're being mindful of the quarantine, the pandemic or the plandemic, as some people are calling it. Wherever it came from, it's here. And we need to make sure that we survive this so that we can get to the other side and it does not take us out. So with that said, David, back to you.
Okay. Thank you, sir. You know, I listened to you very intently about your reading. And I always said, you know, and it brought to mind, like I was talking to my partner, Bill Gooden, earlier today. And Bill is my rock, you know. You know, we share with one another when things hit us kind of deeply. And today, and Vernon was on the call with me early this morning as well, and we were sharing a few things about that. In the last 5 days, I had two family members who had strokes, my younger brother and my older sister. And now my older sister is in a hospice situation right now as we speak. And, you know, so all this hit, you know, so it's kind of hitting kind of hard today. Plus, I've been up all night and doing my thing, so to speak, so I'm kind of out of it a little bit. But at the same time, when I analyze things, when I look at life, you know, I'm one blessed, extremely blessed man. Because, you know, what I'm going through, many people, many families has already gone through it. Because we have longevity in my family, you know. So, you know, when people, you know, like I said, I'm talking about just my brothers and sister. You know, it's eight of us. And just last year, I lost a sister. But at the same time, out of the eight of us, we only lost one sibling. And my baby sister's in her 60s. And so, and my mother's still around. So, you know, so we are extremely blessed. But at the same time, if you were not prepared, if you don't understand the cycle of life, that you can look at it half full or half empty. You can say, well, woe is me. I can go through this thing right now today. Woe is me. I wouldn't even be on it because I'm grieving. I'm going through these changes. No, we still have work to do. Life goes on. And I appreciate the time that I had with my siblings and my loved ones, my friends, and everybody else. But at the same time, ladies and gentlemen, it's this. We are currently going through this thing they call a pandemic, and like I say, people, we've been discussing this for the last several weeks about this pandemic thing, and now we have, on top of that, a resurgence of, well, I don't think it's never resurged, they just probably haven't been reporting, the police shootings of our people, and then you have the vigilantes out here now taking matters in their own hands and shooting people down in the middle of the street because police see them. Especially on black people. Somebody doing a lot of riffling around. It's a lot of background noise if you just, you know, kind of mute yourself. But in any case, is this. I see we have, I think he's still online, Mr. Achenya Lucas. He's one of our editors in the National Black Unity News. And Mr. Lucas is I consider him not only a friend, but as a big brother. Because this man is full of wisdom, and I tease him a lot because he's a wordsmith from my perspective. You know, he can, when it comes to rhyming, putting words together, I would put him against up to any young rapper today, you know, I would, because he could just think of your name or think of a date or an occasion. He could come up with a poem or a rhyme and just come up with just like that, you know. And so that, and I think that's it's a gift, and he has a gift. But I invited him on, not only because he's welcome to come on any time, but I invited him on for a specific reason. Because, as I said in my earlier statement, when we go through crisis, not only in your family, see, the first thing my family did is when my sister, when they found out that she was in a certain situation, what the first thing they did, they called on the elders. And which I'm one included, you know, and so they wanted some advice. Where do we go from here? What do we do? You know, even though they up in age themselves, but they called on the elders to figure out what to do. And even to me this day, those who still around, when I go through crisis sometimes, if I can't call on a few friends, I call on my elders, somebody who's been there and done that. And especially a person I know who make wise decisions, you know, and Mr. Lucas like that with me. Mr. Lucas, can you hear me, sir?
Yes, sir, I do, Mr. Murphy.
Okay, good. I'm about to bring you on, but I'm going to ask you a question. And getting back to Mr. Lucas, like I say, from the inception of the National Black Unity News, he was one of the first people to say, sign me up. You know, without question, fault or anything, he said, I'm in it. You know, I want to be involved because that's where his heart is at. And every time, since I've known him, every time I go through a crisis or anything like that, he's one of the first people I call on. And so since we are, as a people, going through a crisis, the country's going through the crisis, the universe pretty much, things is out of whack, so to speak. And I want to ask you a question, Mr. Lucas. From
yes,
your
sir.
Perspective, because everybody got an opinion about this or everybody got an opinion about that. But from your spreading, like this thing we call this new pandemic, COVID-19, is new on all of us. Some people say it's old, it's just an older version of an old system. But at the same time, but we never had this type of reaction before where they shut down countries. And people have been shut down, shut up in their houses and stores and businesses. The economy almost come to a standstill. And from your perspective, sir, what is your take on this whole situation? You know, just from your opinion.
Okay, Mr. David, thank you for inviting me on tonight. And again, I am a Chenyef Lucas Sr. And I've thought about this long and hard, and I have a few thoughts on this, and the most important, I believe, that God is letting us know that he is still in charge. It does not matter what our economic status is, how many houses we have, how many cars we have, how much money we have, but this virus, as some people call it, and I call it the plague, this affects all of us, regardless who we are, regardless of our ethnicity, our gender, or wherever we are. But in addition to that, God has us. We don't have to worry about anything. Just still rely on him. And I was listening to a speech the other day somebody was giving. And then I sat down at that time when I got home and I wrote a poem. And one thing that God has said a long time ago, he said that he was talking to Israel. He said, my people who are called by my name, if you will humble yourselves and if you will turn from your wicked ways and if you would repent and pray, he said, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal your land. And our land needs healing today. And I thought about that verse, and I thought about it, and oftentimes when we are, we never even got in a quiet time. We were so busy doing so many things. But God have allowed it to be where now we have a lot of quiet time. We're in one place with our families, and God have been speaking to us over the years. And it seemed like we couldn't hear him, or we chose not to hear him. So I sat down and I wrote a poem, and I would love to just share that with you, David, if I may.
Yes, you may, sir.
And the title of this poem is, Can You Hear Me Now? And it goes like this. Can you hear me now? I have asked you before. I have not, and I have not. But you never open your door. Can you hear me now? You act like you never heard. I commanded you to submit to me and obey my holy word. Can you hear me now? Now that your family is together, humble yourselves before my face and stop acting like shoe leather. I have been calling you for centuries, but you haven't given an ear. Now bend your knees before me. Open your ears so you may hear. God is asking us, can you hear me now? And I ask you the question, can you hear God now? He said, I've been calling you for centuries, but you haven't given an ear. Now bend your knees before me. Open your ears so you might hear. I have been so patient in pleading with you. I sent you my son to bring you back home. I now send this plague, a virus it is called. Incline your ear or be left alone. And I hope this will encourage and uplift someone, because God is calling us. All he wants us to do is just do his will. Just obey him. Stop killing one another and stop treating one another like we are nothing. And if just one of us, let's say if I, the only person that I control is me. So if me, just me, myself and I, if I treat you the way I want to be treated, if I treat you like a man or woman, and like a great boy or girl, and if I just do that, I ought to be able to control one person, me. And if you can control one person, you, and if we teach others to just treat each other the way they ought to be treated, this world will be a better place. And our great people, the Afro-American people, we are great people. And then we can show our greatness. And then we can say to Almighty God, Lord, I hear you now. Speak, and your servant will hear. Command, and I will obey. God bless you all. Thank you, David. I appreciate you.
All right, thank you, Mr. Lucas. Powerful words. And that was a powerful verse that you read from the Bible. If my people will humble themselves and hear my voice, and then at the end it say, I will heal your land. And I'm a student of the word, and I'm a student of life.
Yes.
And I often tell people that the National Black Community News come from divine inspiration. And when I used to do a publication called The Informer, it has on it, right in the headline, it was in the caption of the header, our people perish for lack of,
lack of knowledge.
Wisdom,
lack of knowledge.
Knowledge, understanding.
Right.
And you know, and sometimes we have to go back to basics. And, you know, and for those of you who have ears to hear, you know, hear the word of God. But for those of you who don't know, if you don't know, you might need to ask somebody. Because we are in perilous times. We are in times. And I'm not trying to turn this conversation into a Bible study or anything like that. But the word of God is the word of God.
Go ahead.
And everybody, one thing about God, in his word, he said he gave everyone the right to choose, even to choose him or to refuse him. That's a powerful thing, you know, and that's a given thing because you have a choice in the matter, you know. And so since we have choices in this matter, I'm going to open up the airlines based on what Mr. Lucas said, because the land is hurt, it's ill. We now have approached, I think, over 81,000 people have died in this country alone.
Yeah.
From this, but that's what they have reported. But like I say, I'm from the media, and media is a powerful propaganda tool as well. Media, it can distort this thing, it can persuade you one way or the other. And I'm not saying that what's going on because I don't know, but I do know it's a tool that has been used in the past, and from the government. All the way down, there's all types of mixed messages coming out. So it's leaving up to people, like they say, it's no true leadership from the top down, because they say one thing, they say something else the next day, and then they leave it up to individual states what's going on. Then these individual states do individual things, but yet people are still dying. People are still, you know, going to hospital. And now, because of the propaganda tool, because of the economic crunch that's taking place, the media has the power to hush up on certain things. Like I always used to say, the media can make you and break you. They can make you a star today and turn you into a villain the next day. That's the power of the press. But at the same time, there's only one truth. And the truth is, we in a situation. We in a hell of a situation. And Mr. Lucas just said, you can't control nobody else, but what you have to control is yourself. Mm-hmm. And so since he said, since we only have their power, we can persuade people. We can take, most of us involved with the National Black, we can persuade people with our words, because words are powerful. They don't come back void, and people take it one way or the other. But at the same time, there's people right now, because government say it's open, and so therefore people going to flock into the streets, and while this disease is still prevalent, they can bring it back home and kill a multitude of people. And at the same time, people are starving. They don't know what to do because they say they have to work. So they're going to go out there and do, you know, they have to take, you know, a choice in the matter. And so they go out there and go to work and do what they have to do. And now here we find ourselves in a meat crisis, an employment crisis. We in all type of crises going on at one time. And one of the major crises is it's an information crisis that's taking place. And so I'm going to open up these airways, and I want to ask each and every one of you who participate in this call right now, because we do have a choice. And Mr. Hector and I always say this, you know, let's keep it real.
That's right, let's keep it real.
And I'm going to start with me, and I'm going to try my best to keep it real. And then I'm just going to pass the baton to who anybody wants to jump in. Here we are. I don't know what date since this thing started. I know it's a month or two. But the majority of us are still in here in the Maryland area, in Baltimore region. Most of us are still locked down, from city agencies to state agencies, and everything else is pretty much locked down. They trying to release a few things, but people are still dying. And for myself, I don't know what's truly going on out there. There's a lot of theories out there saying this or they saying that. But why chance your life with it? We do know that people are dying from this disease. We know that much. They got ice trucks and everything else up there packing people up in them right now because they ain't got no place to bury them and stuff right now. And people being cremated because they can't use the funeral homes and stuff like that. All kinds of stuff is taking place behind the scenes, things that we don't even discuss sometimes. But yet, people are getting in lines, in food lines, trying to get sustenance to sustain their lives because the markets are, when you go to them, they've been depleted. And people are hoarding and doing whatever they have to do. But I do believe there is a God. I do believe that we are resilient people. I do believe mm-hmm. that this too shall pass.
Yes.
But that's just David Murphy belief. And I'm still going to take precautions because I'm not venturing out there and planning on this and doing that. But that's just David Murphy. And everybody got their own situation. Everybody in a different mold, you know, and I'm 68 years old, and so, you know, I've been there and done that, you know, and I'm used to being, you know, shut down because I can get along with me. You know, a lot of people can't even sit down with themselves because their conscience is not clear. You know, they just, you know, they like Mr. Nichols said, a lot of people haven't done this in a long time, just sit down and be quiet, sit down and even be with their family. It's all new to a lot of people. So a lot of people, they call, I don't like this word, but they call it the new norm. But like I say, but things have changed, and they go. And like I said, we're only seeing the surface part of it. And I believe, like I tell you all every almost every broadcast that we've been talking about this. I say when America get a pinch, black people won't get a punch. Now we haven't seen it yet, but I think in another month or two, you're gonna see some serious devastation coming upon us.
Showing up here.
And I'm gonna say this. That sounds like Dr. Pendy. Is that you, sir?
That's me. I'm here.
Oh, man. I'm glad you just chimed in because Mr. Lucas just spoke, and I invited Dr. Pendy as another guest to be on the call because he's my senior.
Uh-huh.
And he's another seasoned gentleman who had been there, done it, and have a history of working for us as a people on the front line. He got history with the history makers. And Dr. Penn, I want to ask you a few questions, sir.
Sure.
The main question is this. Now, since this pandemic has hit this nation and hit the world, and especially our people, like I said, we haven't seen the full effect of it as of yet. But from your point of view, from your take, what advice would you give us as a people to survive or to do? I mean, just what's your opinion on what we should do as a people?
Well, I don't personally have an opinion. The Bible says, call on me in the day of time of trouble, and I shall deliver. I think it's time that we have, as a people, we've been put on the back burner for so long. We've been pushed to the degree where a lot of us had to, our only refuge was the church, and we got away from the church. We got away from the church. We got away from our relationship with God. That's the only thing that's going to save us during this pandemic. But there's something even more greater than the pandemic. The worst disease that the world has ever had is sin. That's the biggest problem we got. And what happened because of the sin problem, and I'm working on this thing now. I'm working feverishly on it. It's called The Trial is Over, and the close case is closed. But mankind has done so much sin, not only to man, but against the government of heaven, that God decided that it is finished. And so, therefore, you've seen the beginning of the end. This is end-time stuff now. All this stuff is written in Scripture. And what happened, it's not, as you said a while ago, it haven't gotten worse yet. This one time, it's going to be bad because people don't have food. You're going to have riots. You're going to have everything else. And the only thing that's going to really, your bread and water is sure. But we're going to have to ensure that I've announced to my people, I have 4,500 people in our everyday church, and we've asked them to sacrifice to help other people. That's what it's all going to boil down to. So we can't be selfish at a time like this. We have to, as a people, ensure that we protect, I mean, not protect, but make sure that you encourage somebody. We can do this in our newspapers or whatever. A lot of people will not be reading that because they're concerned and they have fears and so on and so forth. But now's the time to not have fears. Now's the time to go back to the Word of God for reassurance. That's the only thing we can do.
That's right.
All right. So you seem like you and Mr. Nichols is coming from the same book. You know,
yes,
coming
Lord.
From the same pages. And this is from our elders. You know, like I said before, even in ancient Africa, you know, we had our storyteller, our seers and stuff, you know, and they shared our history with the people, with the villagers. And today, here we are sitting in this pandemic situation right now. And I know my partner, Bill Gooden, he and I discuss this thing quite often. And Bill has some interesting things to say, you know, not only about from the president all the way down, but what we should prepare for. So, Bill. Hey, Bill, can you hear me?
Yeah, I
hear
you.
Yeah, so on this pandemic thing and it may not be a full solution, but what is your take what we should be doing?
Well, you know, let me just say this first. Let me just say good evening to everybody. And, you know, I hope that all of us believe in God. I mean, I certainly do, you know. But, I mean, the Bible says a lot of things, just like faith without works is dead. So, you know, there's a lot of work that we need to do in terms of trying to help to save ourselves. You know, and like I said to you before, I think that we should take advantage now on trying to stock up on everything we can. You know, have some cash on hand, try to have as much food as we can on hand. You know, unfortunately, maybe even try to have our weapons on hand because we don't know what's going to take place. And, you know, like I said to you before, and I'm going to just say this real quick because I know it's not much time. But like when you first started, you was talking about every state can doing their own thing. That's because we don't have no leadership at the federal level. If we had a halfway decent president, then it would have been mandated for all the states to kind of come up under the same guidelines. But this old fool tell everybody to do their own thing. And then at the same time, he encourages violence because he encouraged protesters to get out there and protest in terms of demanding that states be open. So, you know, I think that we're in a whole lot of different things, man. And, like, you know, but I guess the interesting thing is this, Dave, is that we have to believe in the Creator, you know what I'm saying? And we always have to believe that God is in charge. We don't know what's all going to happen because, like you say, man, we're going to have riots. Listen, if you're sitting there with food in your house and people across the street hungry, they ain't going to sit in the house and starve to death and they know you got food. You know what I'm saying? So we don't know how bad this thing is going to get. You know, but I will say this in conclusion. This is our opportunity as a people to really try to unify ourselves the best that we can and come in groups and start trying to organize ourselves. You know what I'm saying? Because we may need big places such as churches and big buildings because we don't know what's going to happen. We all may have to huddle in one particular spot trying to survive. So I think that is a good indication for the churches who's supposed to really be about what they say they should be, trying to put a plan together. So if we hit this here stage, then we got places that people can huddle and go. That's what I think should happen.
Mm-hmm. All right. Brother Hector,
can I intervene in this? It's one thing I think, Bill, that you got involved in. One of the biggest things that I missed out on is in the Bible, whenever you had a national calamity, anything that happened, the first thing the leaders did was call on the name of the Lord. They did prayer. And in this country, God put Donald Trump in office. I'm going to tell you that again. God put Donald Trump in office so that the United States would go on a decline because it's been selfish. It's been about him all the time. It's about them. It's about us. And that's all it is. It's been about we doing this and we. Nobody put God first. Everybody put themselves first. He's a very selfish individual. He's self-centered. And so God says, okay, I'm going to put this type of person in office to bring the whole nation down to let them know they must serve me first. Until we began to pray, and ask God for forgiveness of our sins, and they won't do this because they figure they're right. No matter what they may do, it's going to bring the whole nation down. This is the beginning of the end. Mm-hmm. Prayer must be first. Everybody in the Bible that had problems went to prayer.
Go ahead.
All right. So you agree with that, Mr. Lucas?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll tell you this then. So that's number one. We need to pray. And I've been doing that feverishly. You know, at the same time.
Pray for God's will. Pray for God's will. That's all. Just pray for God's will.
Mm-hmm. And like I say, sometimes, I like to keep it real. I believe in God. That's what I'm guided by. But and I say this even in my own prayer. Not my will be done, but thy will be done. And I don't always know, and I don't think we all know what thy will is sometimes. But I do know we know this much about it, is that we need to come to God first before we do anything. And since we in a type of country that we're in, since we do have the type of leadership that we have, and so there's still power in individuals. There's still power in collective voices. And as Bill said, if we had unity, and when two or three are gathered in his name, that's power. And with that being said, Brother Hector, what say you, sir?
What's going on, everybody? How you doing?
Hello.
Can everybody hear me?
Yes, hello.
Okay, just checking. This is Andre Hector, radio personality, motivational speaker. I had some technical issues earlier, but I'm glad to be back on the show, everybody. It's been a lot of talks, and I've been listening to all of you guys, and I have to say there's a lot of dialogue going back and forth. Definitely not a monologue, but a dialogue. In this particular situation, in this topic of discussion, I mean, we've been talking about this thing for weeks. COVID-19 definitely is a topic of discussion. Along with that, many conspiracy theories as to why everything is so present. Many contributing factors that we are still trying to rationalize and to understand behind the theories that we are in this present condition that we're in. The question has arisen, you know, is God in everything? Is God has a hand in it? Or, you know, with man in our own demise, has this thing come about through us, some type of a theory? You know, we have many answers for tomorrow. We have questions, and there are questions that we're, you know, we need answers to. Are we doing the right thing? Are we doing the wrong thing? But in every situation, the songwriter said, God give a blessed constellation. And he lets us know some way along the line that there is a need for self-evaluation. Do you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so hundreds of years, we have always experienced a form of a pandemic that bring about a level of fear, if you will. Fear brings about a certain action, you know, to do. I believe that I know one thing, and if I have said anything else, I know this to be true, that I know the Heavenly Father got a way of getting people's attention.
Yes.
Okay. So right now, whether it's Trump or whoever it's whoever, I know God allows things to happen. God allows things to happen. Now, I know sometimes as a nation we're like repeat offenders. You know, we do things drastic happen. We call prayer into line, and then for a little bit, when we see the easiness of a situation getting off of us, we have a tendency to kind of go back into some things that we know that should not be upon us. Oh, we'll never do this again. We say we'll never do that again. But this situation has killed thousands of people, thousands upon thousands of people. For those who believe in the Lord, and for those of you who don't, because there are people who listening on this show that have their own belief, their own denomination, and I'm not knocking on anybody's denomination, but I do know that miraculous things are happening, and you cannot ignore it. For those of you who are atheists or whatever you call yourself, you cannot deny that there are some strange things going on, and it should cause us to stop and consider what is going on. Look around you and open up your eyes, and you can see that people are dying left and right. It should cause a self-evaluation within ourselves and ask ourselves, are we where we need to be? That's point blank.
Mm-hmm.
Self-evaluation. I know it's a scripture in the Bible, and I say it all the time. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. So does a friend sharpen a friend. Right now, whatever knowledge that you know, it's time to pass it along and help one another and create this awakening process, a wake-up call.
Right.
Because many hearts are failing. Why? Because of fear. Fear of what? Fear of the uncertainty. And that comes in with the lack of knowledge. All I know is it wouldn't hurt to try, right? The scripture says, if my people were called by my name,
that's right,
would humble themselves. Right? What else does it say? Seek my face.
Turn from their wicked ways.
Right. Turn from your wicked ways.
Pray.
And pray.
Hear from heaven.
Heal their
That's right. He will hear from heaven. That's all I know. I mean, hey, they say that we tried so many things. Did you really try? We tried this. We tried that. Try praying.
That's
right. But, you know, hey, wouldn't hurt to get on your knees, right? It wouldn't hurt.
Prayer changes things.
Give it a chance. After everything else failed, give it a chance.
You know, like I said, I'm from the old school as well. And I've witnessed this. Not only from the government. Like I said, I'm going to keep it real. So y'all can jump on me all you want to.
This is a show that keeps it real. Keep it real.
This is it.
Keep it real.
Now, like I say, you know, I've studied the Bible. I've read the Bible from cover to cover many times because I just was curious enough. I wanted to know. And I had more questions. You know, when I've read the Bible, I had more questions. I'm not going to get into some no Bible studies this, but I'm just saying this. Man, I ain't saying the church, but man has turned to profiteering, greed, and many of our churches has turned the same way as well. And so you have a whole host of people that does not have a lot of faith in certain churches. I'm not saying all churches, but certain churches. Because sometimes they are so bold about it, you know, they don't even care. Well, I need a new airplane. I need this, you know. I mean, straight up.
Give me Kenya.
Yeah, I'm just saying And so when you see this, you know, like I say, with people with curious minds will say, well, look, I'm not going to take my hard-earned money. Even I said myself years ago, they say tithing, you know, you got to give God a percentage, you know, a 10% or something like this. And I said, I reasoned. God gave us a mind to reason. And I reasoned with myself. I said, I can give away just my 10% just as much as any other man can.
Mm-hmm.
I know people that's hurting, who's hungry, who wants it, so why should I give it to this venue when I can take that same 10% and give it to somebody else who I think I know who may need it? That's the David Murphy way of thinking, because I'm always reasoning. But my ways are not God's ways. But at the same time, a lot of people, and I've witnessed this myself, I have been to churches where I was shocked and dismayed myself when one pastor told the people, when he took the offering, said this was not enough. He said, he actually sent a couple of sisters. I said, well, Sister Sue, it was a small church. Sister Sue, y'all got to bring me more money than this. And I'm just saying, these are the type of things that if I didn't know, if I was fresh off the street and came into a church and witnessed stuff like this, that would have turned me off from the word of God, you know, from going into a church and doing that. Because, like I say, when you don't know, you don't know. And when you seek it, and if you get a false prophet, that can damage you. That's why they say they will lead you astray, and then everybody will fall off the cliff. And so those people of God who are called by his name need to step up and step out and be bold. And like I said, I don't see that the way I used to see back in my younger days when we had bold men and women of God who stood up against the government, who stood up against any type of atrocities that would attack the people. And today it's rare to see that kind of stuff. So what say you, elders, on that?
All right. First of all, you'll never find in the Bible any preacher that was told to preach about give me money. That's not the preacher's job. The preacher's job is to preach the gospel. That's the only job that he has, to preach the gospel about salvation. And salvation is an individual thing. He's not coming to save everybody. He's coming to save those who he have a relationship with. And so we put this thing about, we put we in it, we've done this and we've done that. No, we haven't done anything. We don't run this nation. They run the nation. We just go along with what they're doing. And as long as you go along with what they're doing, you're going to wind up like what they're going to wind up in. So what happened, it's best that we have an individual relationship with God. That's what really counts. And like you said about the money in the church, the Bible says return your tithes and offerings. That's it. But when preachers get up and start preaching about give me money, that's not, he's not called of God. I don't know who he's called by. He's called by greed. I wrote a book about the religion of greed and its impacts on African Americans. The preacher's job is not to preach about money, but preach the gospel. Other than that, that's the only job he has.
That's it.
Go ahead. Bill, you want to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, first of all, I'd like to say, Matt, I hope all of us believe in Creator. But, you know, if we're going to go to the Bible, you know, the Bible also says there will be many to claim they call, but very few that's called. You know,
that's
so
right. Sometimes
we don't really know who's called and who's not. And then on the other hand, then you look at all these different religions, because I always like to say this. You know, my sister was a Jehovah's Witness, and I love my sister just as much as I love somebody else. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know, like Malcolm X was one thing, Martin Luther King was one thing. Who do we believe? You know what I'm saying? Is Martin Luther King taking us the right way, or is Malcolm X taking us the right way? So I'm saying so many different theories, but that's why I said to you before, Dave, that's why God gave us common sense. You know what I'm saying? Every regardless of what preachers and everything else tell us, if there's nothing the matter with us, then our best line of defense is the common sense that God gave us to be able to think rational for ourselves. So sometimes, regardless of who we're listening to, we have to try to think for ourselves in terms of what's right and what's wrong. Because some things, I'm going to just say this in closing, because, you know, we got so short time, I don't want to take up a lot of time. But I'm going to just say this in closing. It's like, when we growing up, unless you got something mentally wrong with you, you already know that it's wrong to kill somebody. Nobody want me to teach you that. You know what I'm saying? You know that it's wrong to go and break into somebody's house. Nobody don't have to teach you that. That's part of the common sense that God automatically gives us. So I'm saying we have to rely on our common sense in a time like this for our best line of defense.
That's true. But I also want to keep in mind the way things are going out here. You know, common sense should be common sense, right? But common, you know, it's rare. It's very rare. Some things that should be making sense, the sum doesn't. So yeah,
well,
but that's where wisdom comes in, right?
God didn't call us into a religion. He called us into relationship. Religion won't save you. No religion will save you. Your relationship is going to save you.
That's true. That's right.
And before we go to the president, you know, I'd be remiss if I don't bring this young lady in, because she's constantly posting a daily post out there to encourage people. Ms. Pranamo, are you still online?
Yes, I am, Mr. Murphy.
What say you, young lady?
What say me? Oh, man, I'm listening to you guys tonight, and all these pearls of wisdom, I feel like my net worth is increasing. So thank you very much for that from everybody. Mr. Lucas, your poetry was like poetry for the soul. It was inspiring and enlightening, and I thank you for this positive contribution to the universe. We have to be able to get something from our energy. And if you put positive energy out, you're supposed to receive positive energy back. And you, sir, are a very direct example of putting positive energy out. And look at all the accolades and the support that you're receiving back because your words are
Amen.
True.
Thank you.
Dr. Pender, thank you for your words of wisdom and the sound advice to trust in the Lord, because that truly is the only place where you can place your trust and not expect that your trust be mistreated. The Lord will always lift you up. Even when you're wrong, he will still come to your aid because he knows his children make mistakes. And when we ask for
That's
forgiveness,
right.
he forgives
Preach.
Us, and then he comes. He will still chastise us because we know when we're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We know when we make bad decisions. That's what free will is all about. He gave us free will, but he does not expect us to use the free will to do bad things. He expects us to use the free will to make the right decision, not the wrong one. Bill, when you were talking about, the weapons, I got to tell you, it's funny. This is funny to me. I spent 7 or so years, almost 8, in the United States Marine Corps, and I know what to do with the weapon. Do not come to my house and mess with me if I got a weapon. I am not the one in my house that has the weapon. My daughter has the weapon. Now, I know where it is, but she has good sense not to let me have it because she knows I will go to work. So we are protected.
Lord.
We are protected. We have our security system, and we have other little security measures
look,
around
Miss Fran,
here.
I come in peace. I just
it's
came
okay,
Henri.
If you want to mess with me, I am not going to mess with you. But
that's
all
I
I'm saying
biscuits.
Is we have to take our own safety and security seriously, because the people that are being paid to protect us very often are not the ones that are protecting us. They are the ones that have taken us out of here a little earlier
right.
than perhaps we were supposed to go.
I agree.
Okay, so you can't really trust those people to do the things that they're supposed to do, because guess what? They got free will too, and sometimes they don't use it to do the right thing. All right?
Mm-hmm.
We do have to come together as a community. We do have to live selflessly, not selfishly, but selflessly. We do have to look out for each other. Collective prayer is critical, and it's a daily staple, whether we're in a pandemic or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have this craziness and this emergency and this crisis going on, that's not the reason you get on your knees. You get on your knees whether there's a pandemic or not, because God opened your eyes in the morning. God,
that's right.
Don't get me started. The reality for me is this. Who said it? Many are called, but few are chosen.
That is true.
You're chosen.
Yeah.
Many are called,
but few
are chosen. Because everybody that's called is not going to exercise their free will in such a way as they are going to choose what God is giving to them. They are not going to be obedient. They will choose disobedience, that they have the free
right.
will to do that. But when they do that, they're not putting themselves in a good place. And if we follow, we're not going to be in a good place either. You know, there are a lot of things going on. But I agree with Dr. Pender.
Right.
I agree with Mr. Lucas. Prayer. You got to get on your knees. And if you can't get on your knees, then okay, sit someplace and close your eyes.
Go ahead.
You know, get somewhere. If you can't find peace in the living room, then go in the bathroom and shut the door. But get some place
mm-hmm.
where you can close your eyes and create a communion with God. Because if you don't do that, you're going to be in more trouble than just this pandemic. You're going to be
you,
in
lady.
More trouble than just this pandemic. So thank you. Thank you for, you know, the contributions this evening. They truly have spoken to my soul. I'm gonna take my little rebellious self and go do something nice for somebody.
Yeah, but let me say this in closing. You know, we don't have too much time left, but I asked my elders to come on board with us this evening because it's vital importance to us as a people. And sometimes when you go on through things, you have to go back to your roots. And I do know these two gentlemen that's on board with us tonight. Not only them, but everybody else on this call, too. But these two gentlemen, I do know that they are rooted and they are grounded and they are soldiers. And I believe they are called, and they answer the call. And they've been serving, you know, not just now, not just yesterday. They've been serving for a long time. They've been on the battlefield. And I appreciate that. Yes, we are in a crisis, ladies and gentlemen. We are, but you know, I, like I say, you know, there was a quote in the Bible, and you be careful what you ask for sometimes, because you just might get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked one time, there's a quote, and I think it's in Isaiah, and God said, who will go? And the prophet said, here I am, Lord, send me.
Send me.
And there's a lot of folks who prayed that prayer. God called them. Like Francis said, many are called, but few are chosen. Even the ones who are chosen, only a few of them will go. Mm-hmm. And so for those who have gone, who's been out there, I appreciate you because you are the sustainers. I do know this. If you don't uplift that banner for us as a people, because sometimes we so wayward and our wisdom is so lack, that we don't understand the power of God, the relevance of God sometimes. And so we have to stand in the gap for those who don't know. And so I appreciate you two gentlemen. And with closing, Mr. Lucas, I'm going to start with you. If you got a couple of minutes, if you want just in a closing statement, if you had your way to address our people, all people, but especially our people, what would you say to them?
I would say to the world, trust God, humble yourself, love one another, encourage one another, and always be that one for another. And it's not about me individually, but it's about God and his son and him crucified. Keep on keeping on, people. I love you all. I appreciate you. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Dr. Pender, I know you're a soldier. You've been on the front line. And if you had to address our nation, our people, what would you say, sir?
Yeah, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lead not into your own understanding. Mm-hmm. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will
lift you up.
He'll take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got to say. The Bible says that.
All right. And you know, because, like I say, one thing about our podcast, we control, this is our time. And we don't own time, but we control this podcast. And I'll be remiss because, like I said, we have some powerful people online. Mr. Wayne Randall, you have any parting words, sir?
Well, I'd like to thank all you wise gentlemen and ladies for your powerful dialogue and your wisdom. And I like to chime in on what it all really means to me. God has allowed it to happen, but I do agree with what Mr. Lucas said and Dr. Pender said. It's just God's way of just trying to pull us closer to him. Mm-hmm. For those who never had a relationship with him. You see, when Bill said it, and you said it too, David, that's really what it's about. Because we can't look to Independence Street because it's like Bill said, We're dealing with a commander in chief. He doesn't even have it together because he doesn't believe. It should be mandated that everybody follow a model. Don't just give it to the governors. But I equate it all as what happened with Moses and the plague. Don't look to Pharaoh, but look to God. Because that's what
Amen. Amen.
That's what your faith should be with God. Because he's ordering my steps and what I do and what I say and what I write and what I say in these podcasts, that's coming from the Spirit when it touches me. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I was on a call and thank all of you guys and Fran, too, for your positive words of wisdom. That's where I see it.
Right.
That's where we're going.
All right. Thank you, sir. Powerful. Vernon Streeter, are you still with us? Mr. Streeter, are you still with us? Okay, I'll come back to him. Mr. Streeter, if you get on board before we close out, chime back with us. All right, Mr. Satabi Jahi, any parting words, sir?
Yes, sir, I do. you know, I have a few parting words. One is, you know, we were commanded with the greatest command of all, which was to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And, you know, when I was in seminary school with Father A.J. McKnight, he said that was the greatest commandment of all, to learn how to love your neighbor as you love yourself. But Malcolm X used to say, who taught you to hate yourself? You know, and those are questions we need to always ask ourselves. Who taught you to hate yourself? You know, why you dislike who you are? Why you don't know how to love yourself? Because when you love yourself, you won't bring harm to anybody else, because you will want for them what you will want for yourself. So, you know, if we keep those in mind and remembering, as my teacher in seminary school used to say, the greatest commandment of all is loving the Lord thy God with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind. You know, and then he used to add another thing to that. He said, you find all of those things above the navel. But that's a little side bar there. But, you know, the whole thing is that we have to learn how to love. We need to learn, the bottom line, we need to learn how to love God. Whatever name you call God by, because God is revealed to all people around the world and known by many different names. There's many different names that people call God, but all people have been, God has been revealed to all people. And, you know, we all have our different, as Bob Marley used to say, different isms and schisms. And so, you know, we just need to know how to see the oneness of God. As Marcus Garvey used to say, one God, one aim, one destiny. One God, one aim, one destiny. And if we keep that in mind, we'll be fine, and we'll be able to get through this thing, because it is bringing all people around the world closer to God and understanding and having a God consciousness. So that's what I wanted to be able to share as we close out this podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Brother Streeter, are you available? Mr. Streeter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to speak a little louder, though, sir.
Okay. I was having a little technical difficulty. I agree with the elder. This thing is something that God has allowed to get a little close to him, because bars are closed, I mean, the clubs are closed, a lot of places are closed, so we have to spend time with family. And if we don't take advantage of it, it's going to us, because he gave us the opportunity to do it and the opportunity to prove to him. If we want to take advantage of it, then it's going up.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, sir. Ms. Fran Allen, your closing words.
Well, I would hope that I could challenge everyone under the sound of my voice to spread hope and not fear. We all have something positive to give, and now is really the time to be selfless and not selfish. My daughter has a friend whose young son asked his father, Dad, what can I do to help bring money into our house? Because you and Mom need money, and I can help you. And so his father asked him, well, son, what do you want to do? And he told his dad that he wanted to make masks, because that's the thing that he knew that he could do that people really needed to actually have. And so he decided to make masks. And I put in the first order. He's selling them for $2 a mask. And I told him I want 10 masks. And when I get those masks, I'm going next door to our next door neighbor, because she needs a mask. She didn't have a mask, and she's elderly. She's not going to get on Amazon or online with Walmart and order a mask. I'm going to buy a mask, and I'm going to take it over there, and I'm going to give it to her because she needs it. There doesn't have to be another reason. and there's another elderly gentleman across the street on the other side. He needs some stuff too, and I'm going to go around there with some paper towels and toilet paper for him tomorrow, just because I can and he needs them. That selflessness is not hard, is not complicated, and it's not expensive, but it's necessary. And right now, it's more critical than ever. So that's my challenge. Get out of your bubble. Other people need, you have a way to meet the needs. Pray. Get on your knees and pray. And then go meet the needs of the people, because service really is the cornerstone to success. That's my final word. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
All right.
Thank you, Fran.
Yeah, I was about to go to Bill Gooden, but I see he just got a call. but I'm gonna say this in closing.
I received that.
I want to really thank each and every one of you, because this has been one powerful call, and it was not planned. It was not rehearsed. This is the natural occurrence of a group of people who have come together to share information. I didn't tell nobody what we were going to discuss. All I said, I'm going to bring on some elders and deal with this current situation. And both of our elders chose the same route to talk about, and they chose God, because without God, nothing is nothing. When God spoke, right. It is, then it was. And so, right. Therefore, God is. And so, therefore, we have our being. And so, but you know what? One thing I do know about God, he worked through his people. Each and every one of us have a sense of God within. We are born. We are born with this. But like I say, Fran said, we have free will. We can choose or we can reject. But you know, God is love. And also with love is a powerful force. You know, out of love, we do the things that we do. That's why we're doing this podcast, because it's out of love.
Amen.
The reason why we share information right now is out of love. We could be in a lot of places doing a lot of different things, but through the grace of God, I'm here right now to even speak to you. And Bill, before we close out, I know you got a call in, but you know everybody was giving their parting words. I want to give you the same opportunity to, you know, if you have any parting words before we shut this thing down.
Well, you know, I'm going to just say first, I'm going to say good night to everybody. I'm going to just say, pray. But I am going to say, as you know, I always say, faith is blind, man. You know, so we have to believe in the Creator. You know what I'm saying? You know, we see one another. We don't see the Creator. But, you know, throughout the Bible, down history, there's always been wars. So, you know, sometimes God prepares us for war also, even if that's not what we say. So, you know, we can't always just wait for God to fight our battles, because, like I say, you know, God give us common sense. So sometimes God prepares us to fight the battles that's going to be before us. So I'm just saying to everybody, hey, stock up the best you can, prepare the best you can, and take advantage of trying to help to unify us, because we need to unite ourselves right now, if never before.
That's right.
David Murphy.
Yes, sir.
This whole conversation was definitely good. I'm glad I came in at the time that I did. All this, the pandemic, everything that people are going through, I would have to say, if I could say anything, just a few words, wisdom. We need to get wisdom and understanding. We need to get it from the Lord. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, I'm reminded of, you know, just talking about that wisdom, getting understanding, forsake it not, neither decline from the words of thy mouth, forsake not her, and she shall preserve thee, love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding. I remember when David taught Solomon as a young boy that seeking God's wisdom was the most important choice he could make. Solomon learned the lesson well. at least he learned it really well. When God prepared Solomon and promised to grant anything of his request, Solomon chose wisdom above all else. We also should like make God's wisdom our first choice. And you know, that wisdom is very important. We don't have to wait for God to reveal himself. He has done that through Jesus Christ. But we can boldly ask him for wisdom. And if we want wisdom, we must decide to pursue it. We just can't sit there and wait for it to come to us.
Mm-hmm.
But we must get up and pursue this wisdom. This will take resolve, a determination not to abandon the effort once you begin, no matter how difficult the journey may become. This is not by far one in a lifetime step, but it's a daily process of choices and choosing between two paths, and that of the wrong way and that of the right way. You know, you ever heard that expression, the dummy in the car, and they're doing a test car, like a test with this car crashing it, and how the dummy's going to react? They say you can learn a lot from a dummy. You know, buckle your safety belt. You know, so it's just one of those things. And that of the righteous, nothing else is more important or more valuable than pursuing wisdom and understanding.
All right. So in closing, ladies and gentlemen, is this. As I was saying earlier, this has not been rehearsed, or nobody even persuade how we ended up in this discussion. But we do know one thing, and we all in agreement with this, that God is still God.
That's right.
God still sits high. God is our beginning, and he's our ending. And so, therefore, we must seek God in honesty and in truth. And at the same thing, like I said, if we humble ourselves, and for those who don't know, ask somebody. Because there are folks around, just like these folks on this podcast right now, would tell you and would direct you. Because you ask me, I'm going to show you. I'm going to tell you. And I'm living proof of it. All of us has been around the block once or twice. And we all could come up with different conclusions, but we all came up with one conclusion this evening was this, that God is still God.
That's right.
And God is still in control. And so you can look to the hills, you can look to the water, you can look all over the place. But I'm going to tell you this from David Murphy perspective to God.
Yes.
He is our beginning, he is our ending, he is our being. And if we are to get out of this thing, if we are, it's God will, if it's not God's will, God will prevail, regardless of what we think or how we feel. But God is a great God, and he has proven from time to time, I don't know about your life, but in my life, that all things work together for good in my life, you know, no matter what. And just to be on this call this evening to get wisdom, to get different input from all these different people. And there's just proof in the pudding right there alone that nobody was on this call, like I said, not rehearsing. It's each and every one of these individuals are strong individuals, and they're not easily persuaded by anybody. But yet they all came up with one conclusion this evening. God is God. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank our two special guests, Mr. Achenya Lucas, Sr.
Thank you.
And also want to thank our other guest, Dr. Charles Pender. And also, as always, Brother Bill Gooden, Andre Hector, Vernon Streeter, Fran Allen, Satavi Jahi, and yours truly, David Murphy. We're going to bid you a good night. And ladies and gentlemen, when I repost this thing, I'm going to put it out wide and large because people need to hear this. That in a time such as this, we need God. And we need to take action. You know, God, faith without work is dead. And so we have to take some action. We can have all the faith in God we want to, but God is an action God. And each one of us pick up our banner, our sword, and put on our armor, and we got to go to war. We soldiers. We got to get out here and do what needs to be done. The people are waiting. People are dying. And so we have power. There's power in words. There's power in God's word. So thank you and good night.
Good night.
This message is no longer being recorded.
Thank you, David Murphy.
Thank you. Thank you, each and every one of you. Y'all put
Lady
in the work.
Praying, call me.
Who was that?
Lady Friend, call me. I need a dozen masks.
Oh, and who is this? Is this
Mr. Lucas.
Lucas.
Yes.
Mr.
Lucas.
Yeah.
Okay. I will
okay.
call you. Yes, sir. I will call you.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
God bless you all. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
All right.
Goodbye.
Okay, so Tawas Jahi closing out National Black Unity News Podcast with theme song from my blog talk radio called It's My Time, and we can change the words around a little bit and say it's our time.
Let the world know that.
good night, and join us next week as we simulcast the National Black Unity News Podcast. Hope everybody enjoyed the program and the call for tonight. Good night.